This is Vision for Christ, Toledo, Ohio, USA. My name is Tim Taylor. We desire that you will find Jesus through this broadcast. Surrender your life to Christ. Repent and dedicate your life to His service in a living, loving, active faith. First, please join with me in prayer to God through Jesus Christ. Father God, I want to praise and make the name of God Almighty and His only Son, Jesus Christ, great and powerful before all of the many people listening today. May the words that I speak be the right words to communicate the glory of Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who died to pay the penalty for sin for everyone who individually believes and trusts in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sin. Give to each person listening the faith to trust in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, so they can know that through Jesus they have eternal life. Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing in Your eyes, O Lord, my rock and the one who saves me. I make this prayer to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Some source material for this program was derived from material at gotquestions.org. In addition to the shortwave broadcast that most of you listen to, we are now on a gospel FM station called Light of Mozambique at 95.9 FM in Lichinga, Mozambique. We are on the air there at 7:30 in the morning and 6:30 p.m. each Sunday evening. If you are in eastern Zambia, central Malawi, or southern Tanzania, you should be able to hear us on 95.9 FM. I want to let everyone know about our Vision for Christ website at gospel2africa.com. We have the audio of past, present, and future programs that you may listen to. Pastor Terry Priestap has a written Bible blog to help you in your Christian life. We have information about Terry and me and what we believe. You can contact us through our internet website contact page. We enjoy reading your letters of how Christ has touched your life through our broadcast. That internet website address is gospel2africa.com, and I will repeat that at the end of the program. In past radio programs, I have referred to Christ dying for sinners on the cross of Calvary. If you are not familiar with ancient Israel and the landmarks around Jerusalem, you may be wondering, what is Calvary? Also, some places in the New Testament call the place where the Romans executed Jesus as Golgotha. Golgotha is the Aramaic language name of the location where Jesus was crucified outside of Old Jerusalem. In John's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 16 through 18, we read, "So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them." Golgotha is also mentioned in Matthew 27, verses 32 and 34. "As they were on the way, they came to a man called Simon from the country of Cyrene. They made him carry the cross for Jesus. They came to a place called Golgotha. This name means the place of a skull. They gave him wine with something in it to take away the pain. After tasting it, he took no more." And it's also mentioned in Mark chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. "The soldiers forced a passerby to carry his cross, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country. He was the father of Alexander and Rufus. They brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which is translated Place of the Skull." In Luke 23:33 of the King James Version, the word Calvary is used in reference to the same location. In modern translations, the more literal term, the place that is called the skull, is generally used. The word Calvary is derived from the Latin phrase for this location, Calvary locus. Luke 23:33 in the King James Version reads, "And when they came to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Counting this reference, all four Gospels make specific reference to this particular hill as the place where Jesus died. According to early church fathers, the location was called the place of the skull due to the shape of the hill that apparently reminded people of a human skull. There has been some dispute regarding the precise location of this hill, but the traditional place is underneath the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in the northwest quadrant of the Old City, also known as the Christian Quadrant. The church is built over a point called the Rock of Golgotha, the supposed site of the crucifixion. As the name of the church suggests, the building also includes a cave-like tomb where the body of Jesus was supposedly laid. The construction of the church was overseen by Helena, the mother of Constantine, in AD 325, and has long held prominence as the traditional location of the crucifixion of Jesus. The location of Golgotha is of interest to Christians due to the events that have taken place there. One fateful day, Jesus carried a cross, helped by a man named Simon, toward a hill where he was hung by nails through his wrists and feet. He hung between two thieves as one of three sentenced to death that day. One of these two men understood who Jesus was and asked the Lord to remember him in the kingdom. Jesus responded with a promise of glory soon to be revealed. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." That's Luke 23:43. It is why Jesus was shedding his blood to forgive and redeem sinners who place their faith in him. Still today, this hill we call Golgotha, or Calvary, stands as a reminder of the great sacrifice of Jesus, the only sacrifice capable of forgiving sin and reconciling man with God. In Hebrews 10:12, we read, "But Christ gave himself once for sins, and that is good forever. After that, he sat down at the right side of God." Acts 4:12 explains that Jesus Christ is the only way. It says there is no way to be saved from the punishment of sin through anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we can be saved. The night before the death of the Lord, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples and shared the Passover meal with them. During this time, Judas was revealed as the one who would betray his master. Read John chapter 13 for more about this. At the conclusion of the meal, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26:26-29. Also read 1 Corinthians 11:23-26. After the meal, he took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. There he pulled Peter, John, and James away, told them to pray they would not fall into temptation, and went off by himself. Peter, John, and James promptly fell asleep. Alone, Jesus was grieved and depressed, sorrowful as he approached death. His sweat fell like drops of blood, Luke 22:44. His anguish was such that his life was practically dripping away from him. He asked God to take the coming torment from him, but only if it was the will of his Father. Luke 22:42, he said, "Father, if it can be done, take away what must happen to me. Even so, not what I want, but what you want." But it was not the anticipation of scourging or the horrible hours on the cross that had Jesus so sorrowful. What had him crying out in the garden was the anticipation of carrying the weight of sin. Matthew 27:46 records this account. "At about 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?'" God sent an angel to strengthen him enough to get through it. Jesus asked Peter, James, and John to pray that they would stay loyal to him, but they fell asleep again. He had shared his life and his coming death with his disciples for 3 years. Then one of them, Judas, walked up to him, greeted him as a friend, and handed him to the Roman guards. The next few hours were a blur of beatings, mockings, and whippings with leather thongs tipped with balls of metal and shards of bone. The skin of Jesus was ripped off his body, and blood dripped off his head from the long thorns in the crown. He also suffered the humiliation of numerous illegal mock trials before Annas, Caiaphas, and the Sanhedrin, and Roman trials before Pontius Pilate, then Herod, then Pilate again. John 18:13 says, "They brought him first to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was Jewish high priest that year." Matthew 26 records this part of the gospel story. "So the high priest stood up and said to him, 'Have you no answer? What is this that they are testifying against you?' But Jesus was silent. The high priest said to him, 'I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said it yourself. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" Pilate, who knew Jesus was innocent, finally bent to the will of the crowd who were shouting, "Crucify him!" And he sent Jesus to the cross. Luke 23:1-25. Once on the cross, he had the choice of resting his weight on the spikes driven into his hands or pushing up on the spikes in his feet and being able to breathe. People who had celebrated him a week earlier now taunted him. He watched the Roman soldiers divide his possessions before he died. When the soldiers came to break his legs, a typical method of hastening the death of the crucified, he was already dead, for he had given up his spirit. John 19:30. Jesus did all this to redeem sinners, to take away the sin of everyone for all time. And all you have to do is believe in Jesus. Confess your sin to him and repent in all sincerity and honesty before him. That is all. Do it today, friend. Please do it today. I am going to pray for each of you right now, and I ask you to join me in this prayer to God. Father God, in the name of your one and only unique Son, Jesus Christ, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to touch the heart and mind of every person listening to me right now. Cause them to desire to have their sins taken away, to have that penalty for sin removed, so that through the faith you give them, they may believe and have eternal, never-ending life, starting today, and have a close, personal relationship with you, Father God. Amen. Please get paper and pen ready to write down the address of Vision for Christ so you may write a letter to us. The purpose of this program is to spread the message of what Jesus Christ has done for all people everywhere, how people can receive Christ by faith. We want you to become a sincere and true believer in Christ as your Savior. We enjoy reading your letters to us and encourage you to write to us at Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, Ohio 43558, United States of America. Our internet address is gospel2africa.com. We have the audio for past, present, and future programs that you may listen to. Pastor Terry Priestap has a written Bible blog to help you in your Christian life. You can contact us through the contact form at our internet website, and that web address is gospel2africa.com. I will repeat that address again in a moment in the event you are not able to write it down. We do so enjoy reading your letters of how these radio talks affect your life. If you have comments or questions about anything I have said, I invite you to write to us. Please use this address: Vision for Christ, P.O. Box 265, Swanton, spelled S-W-A-N-T-O-N, Ohio 43558, United States of America. Our internet address is gospel2africa.com, and that is gospel2africa.com. Until the next broadcast, this is Tim Taylor. I offer this final bit of inspiration found in the Bible in John 19:30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.